like server, server me. Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam. Don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time? Because you cannot get online. Call Adam, the computer guy. Or go online at thecomputerguy.com. There's a click of the mouse.
Well, thanks again to Mr. Paul Savage, Marion's Minister of Marvelous Music, for his outstanding, as always, performance of the Adam the Computer Guy theme song. That's what you just heard. Be sure to listen to Heaven Express, starring, again, the aforementioned highly talented Paul S. and his lovely and equally talented wife, Glenna S., every Sunday afternoon in Heaven Express, one of the many great live, local, interesting, entertaining, and informative shows that we present for you here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM, and of course broadcasting online via the magic, power, and general fabulousness, is that a word? Okay, fabulousness of the internet at WWGH1071.com. So, anyway, what show are you listening to right now? If you're a regular listener, you already know. And, of course, I thank you very much for your listenership, if that's a word. And if you're new to this show, the Adam the Computer Guy Radio Show, welcome aboard. Really great to have you here. We get together every Tuesday and Thursday right after the 9 a.m. features to talk today's top technology topics. Take your telephone calls at 740-383-9944. You can send me an email. Always love to hear from listeners. Adam@WWGH1071.com. And last but not least, we give you many ways to view and otherwise take in this experience. I'm currently broadcasting a live video on Facebook. So if you're a Facebook friend of mine, that's great. Thank you very much for your virtual and or in-person friendship. If you're not already a friend, please request my friendship by looking up Adam Lepp in Ohio or Adam the Computer Guy. And let me know you're a listener to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, and I'd be happy to make your acquaintance and make your friendship. I'm also going to go ahead and share the video on the radio station Facebook page. If you're not already a fan, again, please become one. WWGH107.1. Watch me do the show. Give me a call. Send me an email. Send me a message on Facebook or on the live video. Many ways to get in touch, to reach out. All very much appreciated. Again, the phone number here at the station is 740-383-9944. Any questions that you might have about the computer at your home or your office or in your pocket, in your car, in your truck, or wherever you may be using technology, I'll be happy to address for you. Maybe your server is only serving you headaches. Maybe your printer is not printing anything other than gibberish. Or perhaps your monitor is monitoring how frustrated you become with technology. That'll happen, and I can assure you, just like doctors get sick, even computer techs have IT issues from time to time. And so don't be shy. Give me a call and we can talk about it. Maybe some suggestions about technology events or incidents that have happened with you or a friend or family member that you wanted to share or get some advice on or find out what I have to say. And, of course, I present news and views during this show. Again, news from technology with, of course, my opinions and wisecracks and opinions and critique always included to keep things spicy and fun. So if you don't agree with something I said or you do agree and want to talk about it more or maybe you have a suggested topic, I mean, those are all good ideas. Let me know and, hey, let's talk about it. 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. Gosh, my beautiful cousin Eileen, and she's out there on the West Coast where it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, good morning, Eileen, and thank you so much for watching. I'm sorry I look horrible today. Again, it's very windy outside here in Ohio, and I'm sorry I don't look quite as lovely as yourself, but again, not too bad. Again, if you have a face for radio, I guess that's part of the fun. One thing about my cousin Eileen, she was born on Leap Day. How many people do you know were born on February 29th? So another little tidbit from the Adam family that I thought I would share with you. Again, feel free to watch my video, give me a call, send me an email. Easy to get in touch with yours truly. Nice spring day here in Marion, Ohio. It's probably about 70 degrees so far, at least it feels like it. Nice warm breeze, sunny skies. Certainly spring has sprung. That does mean we have to do a little more weeding and mowing the lawn regularly because grass kind of grows a little crazy this time of the year, but certainly beats shoveling snow. So no complaints from the peanut gallery whatsoever. So what is new in the world of technology, you might ask? Well, the big story is unfortunately not a very good one. It's the ransomware attack. It's called WannaCry. There's been a lot of press about it, a lot of things rumbling, a lot of people talking about it, and unfortunately a lot of computers all over the world being rendered next to useless due to this problem, which no matter how it's fixed, will certainly have an expense involved in getting the computers working the way that you would want them to as a user of technology or an IT administrator. It's pretty much impossible not to have heard the news about this ransomware attack. And you might ask, well, what is ransomware? Well, essentially, it's where you get a piece of malware, a virus, or some other unwanted component in your system. And it ends up encrypting your files, whereas you can't really access anything on the computer because everything is jumbled, the file names are messed up, the file contents are messed up, and the only way to fix that is pay several hundred dollars to the perpetrators, and that doesn't always work. Sometimes they take the money but don't fix it, and of course, you don't really want to have to pay that money anyway. If you have a backup, you can, of course, restore from a clean backup, and that's certainly the best way to fix a problem if it unfortunately does occur. Of course, prevention is the best cure, and this malware is generally spread by users receiving an email attachment, such as an invoice, which actually is not an invoice, but it says that it is, and people click on the attachment, install this malware, and some very bad things happen from that point. So I do advise people, you never quite know what an email is actually going to include, regardless of what it might say, because it, even if it came from your friend or family member, their computer might have been infected. And so what you're getting is something that was sent by an infection on that system. In terms of these attachments, certainly have an antivirus program in place, and I can certainly give you some advice on which ones to use and which antivirus programs are best suited for certain purposes. Sometimes you need to put a malware scanner in addition to the constantly running antivirus program. But these programs cannot catch everything. As many times the malware perpetrators do their bad thing between updates of the database for the anti-malware product, and therefore they're able to get systems infected before the prevention is available, and they replicate and end up becoming a couple steps or sometimes just a couple minutes ahead of the tools that are necessary to prevent these infections. And in terms of ransomware, this kind of malware is very dangerous. Again, your computer is rendered useless until you can unencrypt the files, which you sometimes can do without paying the perpetrators. And again, if you do choose to pay the perpetrators, which isn't advisable anyway, but if that's what a user chooses to do, it may or may not work, or they may have some strings attached, a higher price or what have you. They also know that you've paid in the past, and so they may be more likely to try to infect you in the future. Of course, taking a backup on a clean computer, that's certainly a good way to fix this at minimal expense, but sometimes people don't make backups or the backups don't have all the current information. So it's a frustrating problem. The malware, the ransomware that has come into play over the last several days and made the headlines is called WannaCry. Security researchers have estimated that by the end of the day, last Friday, 57,000 computers in more than 150 countries were infected. Now, the spread was slowed last Saturday. However, by yesterday morning, 200,000 systems, one-fifth of a million, and that's quite a bit when you talk about systems in hospitals or schools or institutions, computers that are relied upon by employees every hour of the day. Anyway, as of yesterday morning, over 200,000 systems around the world were believed to have been infected. WannaCry is the most severe malware attack, be it ransomware or any other kind of malware, the most severe attack so far this year. Now, first, let's talk about what WannaCry is, taking a look at some websites that I use for show material and for research, and I thought this one pretty much summed it up exactly what this WannaCry malware is. Essentially, it holds the infected computer hostage, demands that the user pay a ransom in order to regain access to the files on the computer. Ransomware encrypts most or even all of the files on a user's computer. Then it demands that a ransom be paid in order to have the files decrypted. Now, in WannaCry's case, the software demands that the user pays a ransom of $300 in the form of bitcoins, kind of an international currency, at the time of infection. If you don't pay within 3 days, it doubles to $600. If you don't pay within 7 days, WannaCry will delete all of the encrypted files, and the data will be lost. There is a long list of file types that are encrypted. It's pretty much any of the common file types. For example, Word docs from Microsoft Word, .docs, .docx, Flash files, .fla, GIFs, .gif, graphical files, which could also be animated, MOV files, QuickTime, MP3s, MP4s, MPEGs, PDFs, which are often used for documents, the Adobe Acrobat format, PowerPoint.ppt.rtf, rich text, which is kind of a lighter version of Microsoft Word documents, .sql, important databases, and the list goes on and on. Bottom line is this is a very serious problem. It installs a text file, which you can pull up with Notepad or another text reader. Question that's on this text file: what's wrong with my files? And then the answer is, oops, your important files are encrypted. It means that you will not be able to access them anymore until they are decrypted. If you follow our instructions, we guarantee that you can decrypt all your files quickly and safely. Let's start decrypting. Question again, in this text file that's installed if you are infected by this WannaCry ransomware. Second question is, what do I do? The answer, first, you need to pay service fees for the decryption. Please send $300 worth of bitcoins to this bitcoin address. Next, please find the decrypt software on your desktop, an executable file. If it does not exist, download the software from the address below. You may need to disable your antivirus for a while. So, very scary and dangerous problem. And you don't know if you pay the $300 in hard-earned money if it's actually going to work. And again, why should you have to do this to begin with? Bottom line is, be careful out there with your email attachments. If it smells like a rat, it probably is. If you're not 100% sure something is clean, don't download it, don't install it. The slight inconvenience of not knowing if you've received a document that you may want is well worth it, considering what could happen if you click where you shouldn't be clicking. Naturally, these malware perpetrators are doing something extremely bad. We want to stop it. But as I said, sometimes they end up infecting and spreading these infestations before IT people can catch them and stop it. And with the depth of this latest infection, this WannaCry, and the fact that it's infecting computers in hospitals and institutions all over the world, it's shutting down networks and causing major inconvenience, not for the companies, but for the consumers using their products and services, especially if it happens to be a hospital, which is servicing people that certainly need their services often on an immediate basis. WannaCry was discovered on Friday the 12th, and it's now just Tuesday the 16th, so just 4 days later you can see what the impact is in 100 hours, how it's spread. And it's become probably the biggest news story of the last couple days. 57,000 computers in more than 150 different countries around the world were infected, by estimates, by the end of last Friday. It is hitting harder in Europe, as you might have heard. Business ground to a halt at several large companies and organizations in Europe, banks, hospitals, and even government agencies. On Saturday the 13th, a 22-year-old security researcher, Marcus Hutchins, inadvertently slowed the spread of the WannaCry malware when he registered a domain name hidden within the virus's code in an attempt to track the spread of the WannaCry ransomware. This unintentionally, can we call this kind of dumb luck, doing something you didn't really think would work or didn't realize you were doing it, but it ends up being very beneficial. And that happens a lot in the IT business. I can speak from experience anyway. This unintentionally stopped the progress in the process. Now, this didn't stop the WannaCry malware from spreading. It just slowed it down. Now, the experts are advising that you should install any and all available security updates immediately for your operating system. Now, Windows XP and Windows 8 and Windows Server 2003, as we've talked about periodically, has been discontinued or deprecated by Microsoft. They're not issuing updates anymore, even though many people still use these operating systems. And as I talk about, I like Windows XP. I'm not overly thrilled with the latest operating systems, especially Windows 10. I don't mind Windows 7. It looks enough like Windows XP that I can use it. But Windows XP is still being used. Windows Server is still being used in many systems. And Microsoft has decided to kind of put out the olive branch here to those using the operating systems. They've actually issued an update, a security update for Windows XP, Windows 8, and Windows Server 2003, even though they had stopped supporting them. In the case of Windows XP, the support stopped 3 years ago. So a security update's available. It was released by Microsoft on Friday to help stop the infestation of this serious malware. WannaCry. Now, there's no confirmed fix for WannaCry at this time if you do end up being infected. Antivirus companies and cybersecurity experts are pretty much dropping everything and putting a high priority on ways to decrypt files on computers that are infected. But there is no third-party decryption available right now. So if you are infected, you can make a decision as to whether you think paying the $300 in bitcoins will work, or obviously use a backup, that's the best way, or kind of take a wait-and-see approach if the experts are going to come up with a cure. So let me know what you think about these malware issues. Do you have anybody that's ever been a victim, a friend or family member who's been a victim of a ransomware attack? And what do you think you would do if this did occur? It's a difficult situation, and this is always good advice, but especially in this case. If you receive an email and it looks suspicious and you have even 1% suspicion about it, again, if it smells like a rat, there's a very good chance that it is. Don't open the attachment, even if you think that it might risk you not seeing something which you would want to see. We just really can't be too careful, especially with this serious attack. Again, it's probably the most serious malware ransomware attack in recent memory, especially since it seems to be targeted at hospitals and universities and other institutions that live on their IT networks 24/7. In hospitals, certainly, you can imagine what the impact is if patient records end up being decrypted, and not just the inability to access them, but some privacy issues also. Adam the Computer Guy here with my twice weekly radio show here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. And of course, broadcasting online by the power, magic, and fantastulousness. Is that a word? I guess it is. Fantastulousness of the, I think it's actually fantabulousness. Fantabulousness of the internet. How about that for a nice long word? At our website, WWGH1071.com. Of course, the airlines have also been in the news quite a bit. Yes, I don't want to hear that ad. Okay, let's just get rid of that ad. Anyway, the airlines are certainly, they have certainly been, why is this playing an ad? This is really annoying when I'm trying to look at some information and my computer starts giving me information I really don't want to hear. But we can go ahead and fix that. That's part of the radio business. Sometimes you want things to talk and sometimes you don't want things to talk, and that's okay. Anyway, the airlines have certainly been in the news quite a bit of late. And it hasn't necessarily been good news. You may have heard that airlines may no longer be allowing you to carry your laptop on the plane. The Department of Homeland Security is considering a plan that would prohibit passengers from bringing large electronics into the cabin on flights from the United States or Europe. So what do you do as an airline passenger? Laptops, obviously, are helpful because they're small and they're often as powerful as a regular desktop computer. And there are many things that that are good about them. And if a laptop cannot be brought on the plane, that's certainly going to affect people's desire to travel by air and further increase the tension that a traveler faces when flying the friendly or unfriendly skies. We'll talk more about that probably in the coming weeks as they decide if they're going to go follow through with this and maybe look at some alternatives. Again, your opinions are always welcome. Send me an email. Would love to hear from you. Adam at WWGH1071.com. Or, of course, give me a call right here in the station. I'm live in the studio here on East Center Street in Marion, Ohio, 740-383-9944. How the airlines and technology intermingle, how your ability to bring a laptop or other technology on the plane may change, and impacts worldwide from the recent incidents with United Airlines and other carriers. Always a hot topic. So, are you looking for a job? Well, if you are, good luck. The labor market's not too bad right now. And, of course, if you're like me, you probably would look forward to facing a human being, a Homo sapiens, as your interviewer. Present a resume, maybe some samples of your work if it's a creative kind of a job. Recommendations from former employers and friends and business associates. But you do like the personal interaction. Let a human being decide if you're a good candidate for the job. But of course, here in 2017, we talk about autonomous cars, cars that are driven by a computer. We talk about household items. Of course, the robotic vacuum cleaners have been around a while, but they've gotten a little bit fancier. The smart home, things that are done by a computer that formerly were done by Homo sapiens. And so in the employment arena, can a human being be replaced by a robot, by artificial intelligence? And not surprisingly, the answer is yes. There's a company called Maya Systems, and they're in San Francisco, where a lot of high-tech people hang their hats and their brain cells. They have developed an artificial intelligence recruiter that can evaluate resumes, schedule and conduct applicant screenings, and, last but not least, even congratulate you on your first day of work. So why do you need a Homo sapiens anymore? You can go ahead and be interviewed and even congratulated on your first day at the job by a robot. Now, Maya is short for My Assistant, M-Y-A. It chats with applicants by way of computer or smartphone to ask many of the typical questions expected during an early job interview. For example, what's your availability to start work? How does $15 an hour sound? Actually, if you work in radio, $15 an hour sounds pretty good. And how many years of experience do you have? My system's founder, Eyal Gruevsky, said, even when candidates don't get a job, they're excited to hear back at all because they're so used to the black hole of resumes. CNN Tech took a look at screenshots of simulated job interviews with Maya. The word bot appeared next to Maya's name. Again, this is a virtual HR interviewer. Job interviewer, when you go looking for a job, you don't have to talk to a human being anymore. This can be done by artificial intelligence, by a bot. Anyway, this bot called Maya, which stands for My Assistant, will then automatically send directions via Google Maps and even offer tips on what to wear. So again, human beings being replaced in some rather innovative areas. If the applicant is not a fit for the job, Maya even suggests other jobs that he or she might be better suited for based on keywords and zip code. Maya is cloud-based, integrates directly into a company's applicant tracking software. The responses are so realistic that according to the company that puts this product out, Maya Systems, even when applicants are told that they're talking to a bot, 72% of interviewees still thought they were chatting with a person. So this bot may be more realistic than a human being conducting an interview or providing job information. Every employer has a different take on it. Some want it to be more strict. Others want it to be edgy and fun. We can customize that. That comes from their CEO. He said that recruiters shouldn't worry about Maya coming for their jobs. By eliminating much of the busy work, this bot actually helps human resources be more human, according again to their CEO. He said the human element is so critical. His father spent 40 years in recruiting, and he also worked as a technical recruiter himself. Recruiters are overwhelmed with so much work because they're doing boilerplate tasks. So what do you think about that? A virtual HR representative being interviewed by a bot when you apply for a job. And almost three-quarters of the people thought it was actually a person or felt it was a person because it was so realistic. Even being provided information on where the interview is being located, salary, and congratulating you if you are lucky enough to have secured the employment. Cool stuff that we talk about here, news and views I call it, on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice-weekly feature here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. And again, broadcasting online, as long as you have a web browser, mobile or desktop, and internet access, you can access this station and our website at WWGH1071.com. Adam Lepp here, also broadcasting. Yes, broadcasting a live video. You can watch me do the show. You can watch this video by going to our radio station Facebook page. WWGH 107.1, if you're not already a fan or friend, please become one. Become one. Become one. Let me take some more, drink a little more water here. Yeah. Excellent water. Always good for keeping the voice fresh and clean. And again, you can also become my friend, if you're not already a friend of mine, by looking up Adam Lepp in Ohio, or of course, Adam the Computer Guy. Love to make your virtual friendship. About 18 minutes before the 10 o'clock hour here at WWGH, want to let you know that following this show, we take a 15-minute break for news, weather, obituaries, messages from our valued sponsors, underwriters, and supporters. teasers of past, present, and future shows, and always a surprise or two. We call that the 10 o'clock top of the hour segment. How's that for a little verbiage? And then I come back with another show. We call it Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. That show is a little different than this one, although we do talk about computer topics on the show, and we can. It's more designed to be an anything and everything conversation. Quirky news stories, maybe some of the interesting happenings in the world around us here in Marion or anywhere in the world. Maybe some offbeat, humorous news stories. And of course, if it's an Adam show, there's going to be a wisecrack and comment interspersed quite regularly. Also, we're probably going to hear from Nick C.J. He just messaged me. He is a frequent and guest on this show and the Coffee Break show coming up next, discussing maybe some political rumblings in his neck of the woods. We'll probably discuss the malware problem, the WannaCry malware, politics, of course, the Presidonald, as I call him, the royal family, and the weather, who knows. Anything and everything on the Mid-Morning Coffee Break show with Adam, and probably my special guest, commentator Nick C.J. from Wales, coming up starting in about 25-30 minutes or so. I said beautiful day outside. Nice thing about radio is you can bring it along with you if you take a picnic or get in the car or go to work. And if you're not, again, within about 10 or 15 miles of Marion, that's fine. You are welcome to listen to our show via the website wwgh1071.com. And on a mobile device, one of the best ways to listen is to use the TuneIn app. Go to tunein.com and download it if you've not already done that. Search for WWGH 107.1. Make it a favorite. Bookmark it. And when you want to listen, yeah, a little finger snap for you. That's better. Click on the little triangle thingy, the Listen Now button, and voila, you are connected anywhere in the world with a smartphone or internet access. What else is going on in the world of technology? We discuss the WannaCry malware, discuss some possible tightening up of airline regulations for laptops and other technology. Discussed a robot conducting a job interview, acting as an HR manager and recruiter. What's Microsoft up to? Their CEO, Satya Nadella, has introduced a series of enhancements to their critical data and cloud services at the kickoff of its Build conference. That started last Wednesday. They've demonstrated new ways to expand adoption of artificial intelligence, as well as personal digital assistants and some other gadgetry. Their CEO, again, Satya Nadella, told conference attendees that there will be more than 25 billion intelligent devices in the world by 2020. That's just 3 years. 25 billion. And the role of developers will be to extend new technologies to meet that challenge. He said whether precision medicine or precision agriculture, whether it's digital media or the industrial internet, the opportunity for us as developers to have broad, deep impact on all parts of society and all parts of the economy has never been greater. More than half a billion Windows 10 users can now be reached through the Windows Store, according to, again, Microsoft CEO at this conference they had last week called the Build Conference, as well as 100 million monthly active users of Office 365, 140 million monthly users of Cortana, and 12 million organizational entities in the Azure Active Directory. So there are many ways that Microsoft can reach out to their business and home customers. Microsoft offered a preview of Azure IoT Edge, IoT meaning Internet of Things. It is a cross-time, cross-platform runtime that allows cloud functionality to be run remotely on Internet of Things devices. It runs on Windows and Linux and even a Raspberry Pi. And that's that computer you can get for just a few bucks that's kind of bare bones. And Nick and I have talked about that. Again, Nick being my business associate, longtime friend in Wales. And we're going to talk to him next hour during the Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam show. Actually, I want to thank Adam from Texas, a frequent video watcher and listener to the show. He called in a couple weeks ago. Maybe you can call back, Adam, if you want to talk about some technology. He's always got some good insight. He's also a radio person, so we like talking to people like myself that are, let's say, multi-talented, or at least attempt to be talented and expert in many different areas. Anyway, during this Build conference that Microsoft conducted last week, they demonstrated how one of their clients, they're a Swedish cutting tool manufacturer called Sandvik Coromant. They're using this new Azure Internet of Things Edge, along with Cortana Intelligence and Dynamics 365, to predict machine breakdowns on a factory floor more than 100 times faster than traditional models. So Microsoft doing some good things for safety and product efficiency. Microsoft also showed how their services, again, this new Azure Internet of Things, cognitive services, and commodity cameras could help manage worker safety on industrial sites. Now, the camera can differentiate among industrial tools and workers. It could be used in a scenario to prevent an unauthorized worker from gaining access to a jackhammer or potentially dangerous tool. They also showed how their product called Microsoft Graph is used with Office 365 to create Cortana skills that are pushed across devices. For example, to send out a meeting reminder or to push a low fuel warning to your car's new Harman Kardon developed Invoke smart speaker, which is powered by Cortana. So a lot of cool things Microsoft is demonstrating. This Internet of Things isn't related to smart homes, doing things, sometimes laborious tasks, that used to be done by a human but can now be done by a robot or other piece of technology. Adam from Texas, he has provided me with some feedback via my live video, and thank you very much, Adam, for that. He has a question for my listeners who are listening to the radio station, but even watching the live video. He wanted to know what their opinions are or thoughts about the Internet Explorer called Edge on Windows 10. So if you're watching the video or listening, what do you think about Edge? It's the new browser that Microsoft has developed for Windows 10. And personally, I don't like it. I find it to be slow, and they're trying to push their search engine Bing, which I don't really mind, but I think it favors Bing a little too much. I don't like the fact that it looks like a browser that you see on your phone. As I mentioned, Windows 10 seems to turn your computer into a gigantic phone, and phones certainly have their purpose. I'm not questioning that. But on a computer with a 17-inch monitor and a mouse and keyboard, I do expect some enhanced functionality. And I think Edge kind of takes that away, and so I recommend using Chrome or Firefox on Windows 10. They have discontinued Internet Explorer and replaced it with Edge, which has a similar logo, but it really is quite a different browser. So that's my opinion on the matter. I do invite your opinions as a listener. Adam, thank you for that, and I do agree. That's a good question. Give me a call, 740-383-9944, or again, leave a comment or question on my Facebook live video feed. Or, last but not least, you know, just like Hillary Clinton, we have a private email server, and you can send me an email at 740-383-9944. Well, that's our phone number. I got so excited by our private email server, I gave the phone number instead, but that happens. In live radio, those things happen, but you have to laugh at yourself. The email address is adam at wwgh1071.com. I think I need to drink a little more water here, so please excuse me while I... Excellent hydration. See, in live radio, you can talk about that, and people don't mind if you take a water break. It is 9:50 in the morning anyway. And where the other Adam is, who presented that great question, it's Texas, and it's 8:50 over there. So thank you, Adam, for getting up early to listen to the show. He'd also like to know if I use Windows 10 myself. Actually, I don't. I use Windows 7. Again, it looks enough like the older versions of Windows that I don't mind the interface, but I don't like Windows 10. I don't feel it's good for business. It turns your computer into a gigantic phone. I also think it's slow, plus it spies on you. And with all these malware problems going around, I find that to be especially frustrating. So I use an Android phone. I have a Windows tablet, It's running an updated version of Windows 8, but it's good for web surfing and a few other things, so I don't really mind it. I have an Android tablet. I have a MacBook that I use here in the studio for multiple purposes, and my main business computers are running Windows 7 Professional 64-bit, which is what I generally recommend. So let me know what you as a listener use at your home or office. Another great question from my brother in broadcasting of sorts, Adam A. from Texas, who does listen to the show regularly, and it's greatly appreciated. Thank you, Adam, for doing that, and your questions are always good ones. But again, as an IT professional and radio person, I kind of stick to Windows 7. I don't like Windows 10, and I feel that Microsoft has strayed too much from the great features that the graphical Windows operating system, starting with Windows 95 back in 1995, have offered to people. Hopefully they can improve some things and make future versions of Windows look more like the versions that people like myself prefer to use. There are plugins you can put on Windows 10 to make it look more like Windows 7, but I kind of prefer if they would do this on their own. Maybe Nick, my other brother in broadcasting there in Wales in the United Kingdom, when we talk next hour on the air, maybe he can talk about that also, as he has some opinions that aren't necessarily the same as mine. And it's okay, you don't have to agree with me. Adam the Computer Guy here with my twice weekly radio show here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, and of course broadcasting via our website at WWGH1071.com. What else is going on? Well, before I give any more news and views, I want to let you know that I am accepting new sponsors and underwriters for this show. And you might ask, well, why would you want to be a sponsor or underwriter of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show? Good question. The reason is that a lot of people listen to the station, a lot of people watch the video and listen to us via the internet. Plus, you can also listen via our website in the show archives. We have great, unique content. Answer questions about technology for the home, the office, your car, your smartphone, your phone that isn't very smart. Take questions from our listeners and emailers and Facebook video watchers. And considering all that you get, the prices are actually very good. So send me an email. Let's talk about it. We will promote your business with messages at the top of the hour, on our website, on our Facebook page, and of course, during my show. And again, my email address, adam@wwgh1071.com. My brother in broadcasting, Adam A. from Texas, has indicated that he uses a computer pretty similar to mine, a Windows 7 Ultimate with 4 gigabytes of RAM, 64-bit. And 4 gigabytes of RAM would be the minimum that I recommend for Windows 7. 8 to 16 is better, but it also depends upon the kind of processor and what you're going to use it for. He does audio editing and production like I do. And that doesn't necessarily require all the juice that video production would, or using a financial program like QuickBooks. But certainly you want the computer to run reliably and smoothly. You don't want there to be any breaks or problems with audio files that you produce digitally. And so considering that hardware is not overly expensive, you don't really want to skimp. But I think that's a good start. Again, 4 gigabytes of RAM, 64-bit, does use use all or most of the processing power of your Windows 7 machine. And always good to talk to other people in the audio production business and find out what they're doing. Another friend of mine who's watching my video, Matthew B. Matthew B. recently had a baby. Well, his lovely girlfriend did. And so congratulations, Matthew, on the new parenthood that you've experienced. And I'm sure that's keeping you nice and busy. And also, it's also very rewarding. He's asked me a question. Yes, his question is Android or Apple? And my answer is Android. That's what I use. I personally prefer Android because I find Apple phones to be kind of proprietary, and they aren't necessarily as easy to troubleshoot or to customize. One reason is that Android is an open source program. It's based on Linux, and of course Google is pretty much the company behind it, so you can customize it better apps tend to be less expensive, and although there are many good free apps, for example, the TuneIn app to listen to the station, for example, I would say all in all, there are more free apps available for Android. I also noticed a lot of my friends and people that I know who have Apple phones that they do tend to break a little more often. The screen, I guess, for some reason, is more vulnerable if you drop it, and we've all dropped our phones, myself included, and when it drops, it tends to crack more often, whereas Android phones, at least from my experience, are more durable. And since they also tend to cost less than an iPhone to begin with, that's an important consideration. So for those reasons, I prefer Android. There are many good things about Apple phones. Apple makes outstanding products. Just one issue with them, because they're a little more, I guess, secretive about their software. The apps are more proprietary, but it just does depend upon what you're using it for. They do tend to be a little harder to troubleshoot. But you can't beat the quality of an Apple product. And I have this MacBook. It's a few years old that I use here in the studio for multiple purposes, and I love it. And, again, it is, I think, a model from maybe 6 or 7 years ago, but it still works great. It's good for my purposes, and you can't beat the quality of the video or the audio, and that's one thing that Apple is known for. So there are certainly advantages of iPhones, but I'm an Android guy. And because I do run web servers and email servers that are Linux-based, and Android is a Linux derivative. That's also part of my decision because I know the inner workings of it better. Thank you, Matthew, for your question. Thank you for watching the video and for listening. Much appreciated. Feel free to call the show. Would love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. But again, providing questions via the Facebook video is also more than welcome. Good news and bad news for you. The bad news is that the Adam the Computer Guy radio show is going to come to a conclusion in about a minute and 10 seconds. But the good news is that at the top of the hour, we have great features for you. News and weather with Scott, our program manager and interviewer of celebrities and other interesting people. Teasers of past, present, and future shows. Messages from our valued sponsors and underwriters and supporters. And even obituaries, which are voiced and produced by yours truly. And then coming up after the 10 a.m. features, it is this new and temporary show that I've been talking about. It's called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. And yes, Adam, that would be me. We can talk about computers, but pretty much it's an anything and everything show. Quirky news stories, politics, sports, the weather, and more than likely my longtime colleague and friend from Eastern Wales in the United Kingdom, Mr. Nick C.J., will be joining me for that show. So please listen. Your being part of our listening family is much appreciated. Adam Lepp saying goodbye for about 15 minutes for the top of the hour, 10 a.m. features. Get a cup of coffee, use the restroom facilities, and I'll talk to you in about 10 minutes.